I wanted to ask, I have asked Matthew Tukak. He spent 20 years living proudly in Australia too. He's got a lot of connections over there, about the situation we find ourselves in Australia and Fiji. He signed some sort of agreement, Free Oceans Agreement, and perhaps that's part of what's triggered the situation with China puffing its chest and letting off a bomb in the Pacific. Pretty strange behaviour, you'd have to think. And there's also a little bit of turmoil for the Aussie Prime Minister, Albanese, who perhaps unwisely ended up on a podcast where he was discussing at times sexual preferences. That too hasn't sat too comfortably with many in Australia, although they're a bit of a knockabout mob, and so some would see it as just being a bit playful, a bit humorous. Others don't, though. And Matthew Tukak is with us to talk about some things in Oz and some things back home. Thanks for your time, Matthew. Tanakwe.
Yeah, good to be with you, man.
Thank you. Seemingly a win from the South Sydney Rabbitohs is a powerful aphrodisiac, Matthew.
Well, much more so than I can say for China. In the comments this morning from Shane Jones about Team U, and then obviously Tomo Poutaki is setting everything up for a bit of a fight, actually, with these free trade agreements, where Tomo Poutaki is obviously saying he is very welcoming of having an Indigenous clause in free trade agreements, and yet his coalition partners at New Zealand First are not, I found really interesting. So aside from the Rabbitohs going on in Sydney and Australia, I think there's a bit of a battle royale brewing at the, let's just say, the PRL over here, the Parliament Rugby League.
Yeah, a bit of a biff and bash going on there.
Oh, a bit of biffo this morning, Dale. On the show.
It might not have seemed that, but see, Matthew's got a tuned ear to these matters and thinks, oh yeah, what's he suggesting there? So I do thank you, Matthew. Just to Albanese, I mean, he's a personable sort of a bloke, but you can get yourself in hot water with comments and perhaps, as I mentioned, unwisely going on a podcast.
Oh, Kylie Minogue.
Yeah. I mean, would you marry, shag or date was really the tone of the conversation. And he got himself caught up in the middle of it, but it's not sitting too comfortably with some, it would seem.
Oh, look, I think people have got to get their pills off their necks and stop clutching them. It was a throwaway line after a radio host or a TV host put together one of those, you know, 5 and 5 minute question sort of things, and he was caught on the hop. So, come on, I think he's got bigger fish to fry, as do we in the Pacific. His deal with Sitiveni Rambuka over there in Fiji has obviously set the Chinese off. And Marama Davidson's quite right in her comments just now that, you know, the Pacific has been a dumping ground for foreign powers to do everything from nuclear testing to God knows what for a long time. And now we've got a case of China firing off a ballistic missile. So even though Albo might have fired off a ballistic missile with Kylie Minogue and his comments, I think there are bigger fish to fry. Interesting that New Zealand is not party to this new defence alliance between Fiji and Australia as the Chinese rustle up in our backyard. I mean, what do we have to do? Get the fishing boats out again and the yachts and go protesting like we did in Miura Atoll? I mean, I think it's a bit rich, to be frank, that the Chinese just rock up in our backyard and start throwing around ballistic missiles like somehow it's Russia and Ukraine.
Yeah, and with scant warning. So this agreement between Australia and Fiji, are you privy to that? I mean, I've just heard it described a little as you have too, I think a free oceans or something of that nature. What might have raised the ire of China by that arrangement, do you think, Matthew?
Yeah, well, I think the ire of China is China's been trying to encroach into the Pacific for a while. I think, you know, Shane Jones's comments about the Cook Islands set the scene for what's been going on. Some Pacific nations have been trying to cozy up to China and move away from Taiwan for a while. This new defence alliance with Australia is really telling. I think, number one, it's the ability for Australia to move back into the region after a few years, to be frank, in the wilderness. Winston Peters has done an extraordinary good job of building ties with the Pacific, with the exception maybe of his little tete-a-tete with, see what I did there with a bit of French, tete-a-tete with the old cookies there. But I think this is an example of a foreign power like China, like they have in the South China Sea, trying to encroach into the Pacific. We already had the case of these Chinese warships in the Tasman granted in international waters firing, doing live fire exercises, causing the diversion of, I think it was a Virgin Australia flight a little while back, crossing the Tasman from New Zealand to Australia. So, look, I think this is a case of actually probably foreign policy and trade actually are on the agenda for the coming election.
And of course, we've got the Indian Prime Minister. Is he Prime Minister Modi? Is coming, but Winston's not going to be there. Strange, isn't it? And I heard Luxon, you know, saying, "Oh, well, that's classic Winston, into some things and not into others." We'll be having extensive coverage, of course, of the election as we build towards it. From a Māori perspective, Matthew, and we'll be gauging the heart of our Māori electorates, do you think free trade agreements and immigration settings are going to be a significant issue for where and who our people vote for come November 7?
From what we're tracking, it's not a major issue. It's tied up with the economy. But Māori in the recent history have a very well-worn, trodden path, if you like, in terms of trade. Where the Waitangi Tribunal claims in terms of the TPPA, people like Professor Jane Kelsey, Chris Inslee, Moana Maniapoto, the Te Konehina Māori, the Māori Council were all involved in that one, as well as Iwi Chairs. So, you know, Māori have an interest. Tama was right to point out that actually, you know what, Māori have been trading for a very long time. I mean, the history of our place tells us that we were trading with the whalers, we were trading with the colony of New South Wales. In fact, there was a pangamu found in an archaeological dig down at the rocks in Sydney a couple of years back, indicating that trade going back many, many years now. So, you know, we've got an interest in trade. Is it the overwhelming issue? Not what we're tracking. What we're tracking is housing. We're tracking health is a big issue. We're tracking jobs and employment. The economy is a big one, but that's wrapped up in cost of living. But what's really taking off at the moment on our feeds, on our social media platforms, is the ongoing issue of housing affordability and homelessness. And Tama's interview this morning with you, picking up on that issue of what MSD are doing with targets and all the rest of it. Actually, at the end of the day, I don't think our whānau really care about targets. They just care about whether or not people have access to a roof over their heads.
Tēnā koe. Trump and FIFA.
Where's
all this going to stop, Matthew? What's going on there?
Look, Dale, the madness of Donald Trump knows no bounds. I mean, just when you think you've seen it all, out comes a new form of idiocracy. You know, all you have to. What I thought was going to be a massively awesome celebration of 250 years since the establishment of the current American version of democracy, if you like, has ended up being overwhelmed by what is going on with FIFA. I mean, we saw the head of FIFA feigning over Donald Trump in the Oval Office ahead of the World Cup, giving him a peace medal and all this other sort of stuff. I mean, it's incredible that that an organization who has stood accused of all forms of corruption in recent years fronts up to the god bedazzled room of the Oval Office, where presidents try and stop nuclear wars and so on and so forth, only to be red carded at the last minute by a phone call, potentially from Donald Trump, just so some fellow can play in a game of football or soccer, as we know it. It's incredible.
I read this article. They were saying how he's changed the way that US presidents will be seen internationally because of his the way that he's just got people that he trusts and relies on, the inner sanctum, if you will. And then I read a list of that suggested he was the most powerful man to have ever existed on the earth, and they were naming Alexander the Great and Stalin and Hitler and all of these notable figures of the past. And did you read that bit, mate? And then at the tagline, it said it wasn't put together by a political analyst. It was put together by...
I can't remember who it was, but it wouldn't shock me. Who was it?
a golf caddy. Anyway.
Yeah. So that's right.
But either way, a golf caddy, the most powerful man in the history of the planet. Anyway, they're playing.
You know, can I just say, I mean, you know, you might remember this. I don't. I've certainly watched and read it. John F. Kennedy went to the divided East and West Germany. He stood at the backdrop of the wall, as did Ronald Reagan many years later. JFK turned around and he said, "Ich mein Berliner," I am a Berliner speech. Years later, Ronald Reagan stood there at that, basically stood and gave a speech saying, "Mr. Gorbachev, bring down that wall." Donald Trump is no Ronald Reagan, and Donald Trump is certainly no John F. Kennedy. Ronald Reagan and John F. Kennedy were far greater men than Donald Trump. I mean, I think the problem we have here, Dale, is somebody who accepts a jet from the Qatari royal family so he can fly around. And I mean, we can't see the inside of that plane yet, but it wouldn't shock me if there was a gold bubble jet path with encrusted diamonds on the taps. That's how much the presidency is now disrespected in terms of this man. And the sad news is it's on the cusp of what should be a great anniversary for all Americans, which is 250 years since its founding.
Just babies, really. Thank you, Matthew. And, of course, Matt's overseeing our political coverage this year. It's going to be very extensive. We're going through the nuts and bolts of how that will all come together. Suffice to say, this is a most important election. And Matthew, I see reports that over half of Māori voters are now on the Māori roll.
Yeah, we're starting to kick off a bit of a campaign involving the promotion of the Electoral Commission. I had a really good meeting with representatives from Uwe Chairs over the weekend, actually, in respect of a campaign they're looking at potentially rolling out in the next couple of days and weeks. We are seeing an increase in the number, not necessarily of Māori just floating to the Māori roll, but certainly Māori enrolling to vote. And what's going to be really, really interesting is to see where this whole thing goes.
Thank you, Matthew. Thanks for joining us.
Don't rule the party Māori out just yet.
Well, never have. Could have the balance of power, just as others have in the past. Matthew Tukaki with us, driving our digital responses here on the Wātea Sphere, Matthew. And looking forward to some extensive coverage of Māori politics as we head towards the important election. Thank you, Matthew.